moment. Thank you for the blessing of being here today. Thank you for also the opportunity to listen and grow more in your experience, relationship, and Holy Spirit revelation. Thank you for everything, all those things that you are doing in our life. We worship you, we praise you, we declare your glory in this place. We also declare that in the name of Jesus Christ, you are here, you are talking to us. And like always, God, we ask you to be you speaking to the church, not me. I don't want to speak to the church. I want you to speak to the church. I want you to edify the church. And with the humble heart, we ask you, God, to please, through the Holy Spirit, touch the hearts, touch our minds, our heads, and please transform us. Transform us to be like you, like Jesus Christ, so that way we can be more in relationship with you. And nothing will move us from that. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for this time and opportunity. We praise you and we worship you. Amen and amen. Also, we have the visitor here. Thank you for coming today. Worship God for all those things. Praising God for all these visitors. Amazing thing. Okay, church. As you guys know, we are talking about the becoming a disciple. So we're going to continue talking about that. I know. We can talk about days and days and days about becoming a disciple because it's a different mindset. People outside or scholars or theologians or commentaries, anything, name it, they call it differently. Some people say believers, some other people say followers, some other people says disciples. But we are learning what is the difference between them, right? The first sermon that we talk about, it was the different mentality about being a crowd or multitude and then have the mindset of being a disciple. There was a difference between them and the whole people that he was going over there to see and listen to Jesus Christ. Between all, the disciples that they were with him, really close to him, experiencing other things with him. And I believe that's why the blessing of learning this new series of becoming a disciple, which opening with the Matthew 28:16 that says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Again, we are continuing learning about that. We learn about that happened after the resurrection when he's saying this specific scripture. And this is Jesus Christ talking. And he specifies also the difference about the authority that he have in that moment versus the authority that he have before the resurrection and death of Jesus Christ. So there's a difference over there. And it's really interesting the continuation of this topic, because today, just correlating a little bit of our life or maybe work life, I want to try to bring something that edify my heart and my mind that it hopefully also is going to do that for you guys. And it is that, remember every day, this is a daily life for you and for me. When you are dressing, you have something like a structure. This first, and then the pants, and then the socks, or maybe the shirts, I don't know. Everyone have a way to do things, right? Maybe the coffee, you do this first, and then you put the pot, and then you put this, and then you put the coffee, and you have an order. Everyone have a structure. And that brings to this specific topic that God put in my heart, and he said, let's talk about process of being a disciple. Because the process that we're living in our life, sometimes we need to learn in a spiritual way how we can implement those processes that we are learning over here in our life so that way we can become a disciple. It's really simple to say it. Applying is a different story. is always that challenge, the application, doing it, being the doers of the word, or applying that to our life. And you and me, we have different processes in our life. And sometimes we have processes that they are more challenging. How to manage a difficult situation in your work life, or maybe how to manage a sickness, how to manage maybe arguing or discussion with someone, or someone is going against you with some different point of view. All those things require process. There's a process on that. And that process, it will give you some strength depending on the way that you are seeing it, or the way that you are taking it, or the way that you are managed those processes in your life. So for being a disciple, we need to learn more and grow more about those specific experiences. When we go to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 14, we will learn, and we already went through the through this chapter before, we see what is the thing that Jesus Christ is talking over there about becoming a disciple. And he say about who else or whoever, do not let go that relationship with mom, dad, son, daughter. He cannot be my disciple, according to the scripture. And then he also shared more stuff related about becoming a disciple in that chapter 14. But the interesting over here is, because today I want to focus in chapter 15, because as you guys know, the scripture, it never was written in chapters. They separated, right? And that's fine. But let's just go over, because you can see in 14 the cause of being a disciple. And then he shared a lot of things over there. And he finished saying, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And then he started 15. And there is where I want to share with you guys the three parables that he shared with these Pharisees. We have also teachers. We have people that he was sharing the scripture in that moment. Also, he have tax collectors. He have sinners. And that's the confrontation of that situation that Jesus Christ had. So he was talking to the disciples, and he was sharing with these people this and that and this and this and this, kind of a process. If these people don't follow those things or do these things, they cannot be my disciples. Okay. Then chapter 15, he started talking to the tax collectors, the sinners, and then he had the Pharisees, and then he had the teachers saying, this guy is talking with the sinners. He's allowing them to be close to him. What's going on over here? I don't think this is from God. Again, you guys already know, the whole mentality, the Old Testament, they were just prioritizing the cleanliness, the clean, being clean. They cannot be close to the sinners. That was the mentality of those teachers and the tax collectors. But then Jesus Christ starts sharing these parables. And hopefully, again, this is bringing a good blessing in your life. It's sharing the first one, which we already know this one. It's basic. Chapter 15, verse 3. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses, thank you, one of them. Doesn't he have leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. That's the first one that he shared. And the thing that we learn on this one is, number one, doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country? When you read New King James or maybe ESV, other translation, it says wilderness, desert. It's really interesting that he's leaving 99 in the desert to go and look after the other, just that only one. But pay attention to the place that he's leaving the 99. He's leaving it in the desert. It didn't specify anything else. We can go and talk about commentaries or maybe assumptions. But what it says in the Bible, it says open country. So he's leaving it over there. Why? Because those 99, they were solid. Those 99, you don't have to worry about them right now. He's worried about the one that is getting lost. That one is the one that he needs to just go after. And that's the one that we need to learn to have in our hearts to go out there and go after that one. I'm not saying now leave everything. It's just to understand what is the point that Jesus Christ is sharing over here. Because if we now talk about ancient times, what is happening in that moment, or what is the correlation of the life of a pastor in that moment, a value of one sheep, it was good money. It was a good, you know. If we're talking about that point of view, now I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about value. And that's the first point that I want to share with you guys today. Because we will see that in the other two parables after this one. Value. What is the value that you and I have in our hearts toward the people outside that they don't have a relationship with God? Because that value, if you have it inside of you, if you see the value of looking for people that they don't know Jesus Christ, that they don't know the Lord or God in their life, that will help you. Because if you see the scripture, it says, and when number five, when he said, and when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder. But also in the verse before that one, he said, doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep? When? Until. What does that mean? It means there's no quitting. It means there's no quitting. Until I find it, I will not come back with that lost sheep. Number one, if you set the value of that life out there, that person, coworker, friend, family member, anyone that you know, that you are exposed, that God is exposing you to be close, if you know the value for the Lord, the value that that person, that life have for him, in him, if you have that in you, you will not return without it. And if that life doesn't want to go and follow, you will continue looking for the one that it needs to come back home. And that's the thing that we need to have in our hearts. The value. How we can get value. And we can learn more about value in different terminologies, categories, in different things. Currency, value, sentimental. That brings me also to the remind of something personal I want to share with you guys. But before that, I want to go to the parable, the second one. Number 8, chapter 15, verse 8. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it, And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Second one. Now he's sharing this lady 10 coins that she has. We will talk about three different things over here. Number one, value about price, because that sheep have a value in price, in currency. Now we have this lady with 10 coins. The Palestine in that time, commentaries, it says that the lady, when she get married, she received 10 coins. It was the symbolism of a ring, Mary ring, a wedding ring, sorry. Okay? It was that sentimental value. And that reminds me a story, me personal, a personal story that I have in my past life before Christ. I will tell you two stories about two rings. One of them, my mom gave me one ring, and for me, it was a really sentimental value. I get in a fight with some other guys, and during that fight, I lost my coin. My ring. I lost it. And for me, that was devastating. That night, I went to jail, but I don't care about the jail. I don't care anything about that moment. I was just worried about the ring. I cried and everything because it was really sentimental, because it was from my mom. And I lost it. Until today, I never had that one back. I have it here. But that's fine. Because that's a story. That's just sentimental value. But when you have that sentimental value, that creates that kind of energy and strength that is not going to move you. The same thing when I was in high school, I got the ring from high school. You know what I'm talking about? The last year ring. So I have that one. And then I have some processes in my life which difficult situations that we don't have money and I have to sell it so that way I can get money so I can buy food for my family. Difficulties. Process. But those processes teach you and give you some growth in your life. Those two rings for me, they have a sentimental value. And that was the same thing for this lady. They have 10 coins and she lost one. So that sentimental value that she had, she started looking for that specific ring. And she will not quit until she finds it. Now, learn what she's doing. Because I believe that Jesus Christ is really specific. The Bible is really specific. The Bible is not going to miss anything. The Bible will share everything over there that we need to apply and do in our life. And the scripture, according to Luke 15, verse 8, it says, number one, doesn't she light a lamp? First process. This is so specific. Why Jesus Christ was saying a parable and then specified three things over here. They have a reason. They have a purpose. He say, she light a lamp. The first thing, let me turn on the light. It's too dark over here. I know the value. I'm going to look for it. Let me turn on the light. According to the scripture, it says that the word of God is a lamp that it can light your path, right? We need that. We need to understand that in our life. It's a light for us. It's a light that we need to share with other people. We, you and I, we are light that we can share to them, that we can transpose or trespass, transfer all the experiences, all the processes that we have been through to these people that they don't know Jesus Christ. The second thing that she did, it was sweep the house. She started cleaning. This is too unorganized over here. I cannot find what I most have a value out there if I don't clean the house first. So then she cleaned everything. And after she cleaned everything, according to the scripture, now she starts searching carefully. She didn't start searching carefully first because the light is off. Everything is unorganized. Process. Let me turn on the light. Let me clean the house. And then I will start searching. Sometimes we get too emotional, and then we start searching carefully in desperation, looking for people out there in an unorganized mindset or heart, and then we are not returning with anything back. We cannot find it. Follow the process that Jesus Christ is sharing with you, and then we will become a disciples. Pay attention, because also the same thing Jesus Christ shared over here. He said, until she finds it. No quitting. There's no quitting over here. There's people out there that they don't know Jesus Christ, that they need to know Jesus Christ. And we are the responsible of that. We are the people that have been selected to be the transfer for that blessing from God to them. Value. What is the value that we have for them? What is the value that you have towards to them? Are we just looking them as what? As another human being? Or you're looking them as a son of God, maybe a creation of God? Value. Depending on the value that you're seeing on that person, you will start looking for that. The first one that I shared with you guys, it was the value price for the sheep, sentimental value, and then the other value is time and efforts. Why? Because according also the ancient time, in the Greek time, it says that 10 drachmas, that's the right word? Drachmas, denarius, coins. If the value of those 10, the value of one, it was representing the worker's value of one day, or a soldier value for one day. Time and effort. But the same point of everything, the central of everything, is the value. First one is pricing, currency. The second one, sentimental. And this third one is time and effort. Sometimes you and me, we are too busy. That's me, one of me. I know. Work, family, church, I know. But what is the priority that we have in our life? Because our time is supposed to be dedicated to Him. His time, our time, my time, His time, we have to be connected. In any way you are at work, maybe you are at home, maybe you're working remotely, maybe you are not working, maybe you're retired, maybe you have enough time, maybe you are enjoying your family, I don't know. But God is giving you the specific time and effort that you're supposed to take in that moment that you are getting exposed to that person. And that's your time that you need to put the most effort that you have to then show the value of that person that he have or she have for God. That's why Jesus Christ was telling them, I don't care, they're sinners and tax collectors. Because I'm seeing a different value on them. I'm not seeing them dirty or sinners. I'm seeing the value that those persons are in the eyes of my Father. And because Jesus Christ knows that value, He's sharing with us today and say, what is the value that you have towards those people? Once again, because if we understand that, nothing will move us. And we will continue pursuing those that they don't know Jesus Christ. Help you and help me to continue becoming more a disciple. Now, we also learning that in this second parable, she did these three processes. What was the process from the pastor? He had an intention to look for it. So he left the 99. You guys are good over here. Let me go and find this one. And I'm not going to quit. So there's an intention. There's an intention in his heart based on the value that he has towards that one. And that's the intention that God wants us to have to go out there and start making more disciples. Remember, in order to make disciples, we have to be disciples. We cannot make more disciples if we don't know how to be a disciple. Hallelujah. The scripture will continue teaching us about these blessings. And now we're going to one of the most interesting ones. The prodigal son. The lost son. Verse 11. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one say to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he got up and went to his father. I'm going to hold it over there. Two sons. One of them is asking a question. "Give me my property. Value." Because the value of the heart of that person, it was on the property, whatever he deserved, according to him. Give me my part. I'm out of here. Now, if you look that spiritually in your heart, in the hearts maybe of some of the people out there that they don't know Jesus Christ, they might be saying, "I am a creation of God. I born as a creation of God. And now I just ask my father to give me the part of my property and say, I don't believe you, I don't trust in you, God, anymore. I'm going to live my life in my wildest way, not believing in you." But he's been created by God. So he asked for the property. Now he left, and now when he's out there, he's experiencing the suffering of not being with God. Value. And that person, when he let go everything, all the blessings, all the spiritual blessings that God provided to that person, love, kind, passion, patience, benevolence, everything. Now he don't have it anymore, because the country, the desert, the open country, the wilderness, removed those things out of that person. And now, when he, according to scripture, I come to sense now. It was involved on that world, that mindset, and now because he come back to sense, he say, "Wait a second. Where I was fine." Everything was good over there. So I'm going back, and I'm going to ask my father to forgive me. Repentance. In all these three parables, we can see these three things. The same thing, pretty much. The only difference that he shared in this last one is the continuation. When he says, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven,'" not just you, but also heaven, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. All of these three situations or parables finish with rejoice. All three. When we learn more about the history, Jesus Christ, not always he just entered into the places or saying hello or saying maybe shalom. He also say joy. And other people also, the Hebrews, they get into the place, houses or any place, and say joy, joy, joy. Sending joy, sending blessings, rejoice to the people. What does this mean? Our mind here on the earth, we're thinking rejoice, joy. It means dancing. It means celebration, maybe. It means like, hey, I have to then physically show that I'm happy. Not necessarily. Because through the suffering, how can you be rejoicing that moment? I think that's the question. When you are suffering, when you are going through the difficulties, the same circumstances, is how we need to learn how to rejoice. And you can rejoice when you set the value in your heart of the other people, and then you remove you out of your own desires. And now, whatever problem or situation that you're seeing in your life and in other people's life, you are continually rejoicing. Nothing will move you out of that. That's the rejoicing that he's talking over here. We're going to rejoice. And that's why the other son, the older brother, became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father say, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So now, thinking that from the point of view of the other son, what was the value that he had towards his brother in his heart? Value. Instead of rejoicing of his brother coming back, he's showing you the value that he has in his heart. I bet Jesus Christ in that moment was kind of referring right now here about the Pharisees and the teachers and say, hey, you are part of him. You are the son that is already with him. Why you're not rejoicing? Why are you asking me or muting, right? Talking about me, why I am with the tax collectors or the sinners, or they are too close to me, when we are here for that reason, to save them, to bring them to his kingdom. That's showing us the value that he have in his heart towards his brother. And that's why his father say, he was lost and now he's found. Let's rejoice. Let's celebrate that. Not just dancing, not just jumping. It's just, now he's here with us. Let's rejoice all together. And that's the rejoice that you and I should have in our life towards the people that they don't have Jesus. Hallelujah. When we think and learn more about rejoicing, Isaiah 55, 12. Let me go there because I just have 12 over here, but I want to read from 10. 10 or 11. Sorry, Jeanette, if it's not there. Is there? Isaiah 55. 55, let's go to 10. As the rain and the snow, out there, there's a lot, come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire. Hallelujah to that one. And achieve the purpose for which I send it. That's so powerful. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. That's joy. But why? Because the word of God is coming to your life, to your heart. And it's our responsibility to give that word also to the other ones that they don't know Jesus Christ. And joy, rejoice will come to your life. Hallelujah. Another scripture is 1 Thessalonians 5, 15. It says, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. All circumstances. What does that mean? All. It means good. It means maybe not good. All circumstances. Give thanks. It's painful. Ouch. Thank you, God. I don't know what the purpose may be right now at the moment, but thank you. You will show me at some point. These circumstances or difficulties that I'm going in right now, thank you, God. I'm going to rejoice. Because for some reason or purpose, you are letting me go through this. And if you look back to your life with the Lord, you will see how many circumstances you went through and how many you get out and how many you're rejoicing right now. Why we are still doubting right now? If he happened already 10, 11, 20, 10 times, why not just one more that you're going through right now? It's going to happen. Let's just rejoice. Let's just enjoy it. But to set the value of the people in your hearts, in your mind, I want to leave you with Colossians 3. Hallelujah. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, because that will remove the value of the people. The value that you and I were supposed to see in people, which is the same value that God is seeing in them. The way to maintain that, to manage that, to have it in your hearts and in your mind, it will be setting your heart, setting your mind in things above, not earthly things. Don't worry about the earthly things. That will pass. It's temporary. Set the things in the eternal stuff. And that will solidify your heart to have a value of the other people. There's five things here that we're seeing in all these three parables. And that's it. Those five things I want to share with you guys. Number one, bring to light. Is bring to light those people what is Jesus for you. Is bring to light those people what Jesus Christ did in your life. Number two, hand over or pass what God gave you. Don't hold it for you. Pass it to them, to those people. And show them, hey, this is what he did to me. I'm not a special. I'm not a special human being here. You are also another human being that he created. So if he did it for me, he will do it for you too. Number three, put in. So in other words, we're just helping those people to grow in Jesus Christ. We're helping them to continue building, edifying their hearts and mind to be more close to God. Number four, set forth or giving that advancement, movement to them so they can continue walking. Hallelujah. Continue walking in the believing, in the being a follower, to then, the last one, number five, it will be unfolding or expanding them to be a disciple. We see those five principles or thoughts in these three parables. But the most important thing, I believe, is value. What is the value that we're seeing on that lost sheep? What is the value that we're seeing in the coin? What is the value that we're seeing in our brother? We are human beings like them. We're not a special. They also right now are going through a situation that you and I, we already went in the past. And God set us free. Hallelujah. Value. Set the value. You might be have the exposure to be close to, maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a daughter. Maybe it's a son. Maybe it's a mom. Maybe it's a dad. Someone close to you. Hallelujah. And if God is allowing you to be in that specific situation, he's trying to use you. Don't change the value of that person. The same value that God is seeing in them, have you in your heart. And at the end, celebrate. Rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Hallelujah. And he will continue blessing us. It's not just illustrating that what we are given matters less than what we do with what we were given. It's not just illustrating. He's doing it. So I'm praising God and praying to God that we are continue growing in this becoming of disciples, because God is putting in our hearts to go. Let's go and make disciples. Hallelujah. Not just for numbers. Forget about numbers. Sorry. It's just unity, relationship, fellowship with them, bringing them to him. Hallelujah. So they can enjoy also the same joy that you and I have right now. Praise God. Father God, thank you. We worship you. We praise you. We declare your glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the process of learning more about you and learning more about being a disciple. We ask you, God, to bless your church. Bless our life. Bless all the provision that we have. Be you providing us. Be you protecting us. Be you covering us. Be you giving us the revelation to continue moving forward according to your will. We don't want to do our will. We don't want to do our desires. We want to do your will. So please continue revealing us what you want us to do. What do you have for our church? And help us, God, to bless other ones. We bless all the communities around us. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to touch them, touch their life. The number one priority, God, it is you touching them and bringing them back to home with you. It can be any other place. It can be other church. It can be anything. Again, the church is us. It's not a building. It's not a four walls. It is you. It is the relationship and fellowship. So that's what we want, God. We want to continue getting more fellowship, more people in your kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you to continue blessing us and teaching us all this blessing. Amen. Hallelujah.